Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Nedarim is Lamed Gimel. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lonezeich and Ishmael Liba Gabriel Bashmuel. This morning we begin the fourth perek of the Masechta. So far in the first three prakim we discussed the formulation of a neder. We talked in the first parak about what exactly is the formulation of a neder. We introduced ourselves to ideas of yad and kinui, of both making a shorthand version of a neder, and also instead of using the word carbon, using other terms like a konam. In the second parak we talked about those nedarim that are formulated that just simply don't work for various reasons. In the third parak we talked about a neder that just simply never gets off the ground because they are not intended to be made into nedarim. And there are four different categories of non-intentional nedarim that we discussed over the course of the third parak. And now in the fourth parak of the Masechta, we talk about when one makes a neder. So what exactly is going to be included in the neder? So the Mishnah starts off, Ein bein amudar na mechaver lamudar hana meimena ma'achal el adrisus haregel. Mishnah should have some sort of familiarity with the same Mishnah finds itself in Megillah in the first parak. There's Mishnah in the first parak of Megillah, the Ein Bein. See, right, the only difference between this and this is X. So over here, in the context of Nedarim, we're only going to be quoting one of these Mishnayos, the one that obviously relates to Nedarim, and the Mishnah teaches us that if you're Mudar Hanam Mechaver, let's say that you are prohibited to get benefit from your hen, from your friend, Mudar Hemeno Machal, as opposed to, let's say, you're prohibited to get any type of food benefit from him. So in other words, right now there are two different ways that you can structure the Neder. You could simply say, look, I've had it with him, I'm done with him, I'm not going to get any benefit from him whatsoever. Okay, so in other words, you are now prohibited from him from all benefit. That's Mudar Hanam Mechavero. The other way that you could formulate the neder is by saying, I'm not eating by him. And not only am I not eating by him, I'm not getting any type of food benefit from him. Right, I'm not. He makes a kiddush. I'm not coming. He makes a simcha. I don't care if he invites me. I'm not coming. That I'm not getting any benefit from him. So the Mishnah says that sounds. The two nedarim sound similar to one another, and there's going to be a small difference between them. And the Mishnah says, "El drisus haregel." The only difference that's going to exist between them is going to be drisus haregel, which I'll explain momentarily. V'kelim she'enosem behem ochal nefesh, and any utensils that are not used for the purposes of ochal nefesh. So, what that Mishnah means is as follows. If I make a general neder of Hana, meaning that's it, I've had it with him, I'm not going to get any benefit from him, all benefits are prohibited to me from him, so in that case, so you cannot do anything. Meaning, obviously, if it's food related, you can't get benefit from him, but the Mishnah says, even if it's things like Drisus HaRegel and Kalim She'enos and Behem Ochel Nefesh, that I also cannot get benefit from them. So quickly, let's just describe Drisus HaRegel. Right now, what Drisus HaRegel means, basically what? Can't even walk through his yard. In other words, I can't even walk on his property. If I say I'm not getting any benefit from him, that includes even taking a stroll on his property. Later on, we'll talk a little bit more about taking shortcuts. But in the meantime, however, I can't use his property. I can't even walk on his property. And Kalim Shenos and Behem Ochel Nefesh, and now let's talk about borrowing a rake. Borrowing a spade. Anything that's not food related. So if my neder was, I'm not going to get any hana from him, so that includes even, I can't borrow items from him that have no connection to food whatsoever. If, however, my neder was only limited to Michael, and right now the way we're going to say over the Mishnah is if I just simply say the word Michael, so then I can only not benefit food from him. However, I can walk on his property, I can borrow utensils from him that are not food related. Then the Mishnah says, Hamudar Maichal Mechavero. So let's say, for example, that's it. I'm not eating by him anymore. I'm not going to get any food benefit from him anymore. So the Mishnah goes on to describe, Lo Yishlenu Napa Vekava Rechan Vetanur. So I can't borrow from him a sieve, a sift, a millstone, and an oven. So I can't even borrow these items from him. Now, these items are not food. Okay, what are they? They're for the purposes of food preparation. So what the Mishnah is really introducing us to is a bit of a chiddush, and that is that if my neder was focused around food, I'm not getting food benefit from him, not only does it include food, but it also includes things that are connected to food, things that will help me prepare food, a sieve, a sift, a millstone, an oven, those things I cannot benefit from him as well. But if I want to borrow from him, let's say I need a shirt, and I want to borrow a shirt from my neighbor, and nowadays it's not that popular to lend shirts one another, but maybe a jacket we could be talking about. Anyway, tabas or rings, or talus and nizamim, or a larger cloak, or nizamim, or rings. So in all these cases, the Mishnah teaches us that those are fine because those have no connection to food whatsoever. Okay.
You argue that the site could be preparation for food also.
Yeah, well, we're going to make, you'll see this over the course of this first half of today's shiur, we're going to make a number of arguments of what should and should not be included within the scope of the neder. Okay, so but right now the Mishnah lays down the ground rules is that a general neder hana that I make against somebody else where I'm not going to be able to receive benefit from him, and I make it a generalized hana, a neder, so the Mishnah says I can't get any benefit from him, even the littlest thing. The littlest thing includes even walking on his property. I mean, barring his utensils, I would have said without the Mishnah, that's obvious, meaning that's a clear benefit where he's lending me something. But moreover, even walking on his property, and again, we're not even talking about a shortcut right now, even walking on his property also results in a violation of the neder, as I'm benefiting from him, even in the lightest of ways, by just simply walking on his property. The Mishnah says that under those circumstances, you're bound by the neder. Masha'en came, the Mishnah goes on to say, that if it's just food related, so then the neder is going to be specific to food, but then the Mishnah is a little more expansive. The Mishnah says it's not just limited to food, but anything used in preparation of the food as well. Okay, much discussed over here in the course of our Mishnah. The Gemara starts off the discussion. Mantana. Who is the author of our Mishnah? Because our Mishnah really introduces us to a Chiddush. If I say I'm not going to get Hana from somebody else, and I'm bound by a Neder to not get Hana from somebody else, the Mishnah says I can't even walk on his property. Now, when we talk about Hana, we talk about generally something which has a benefit, which also can be given some sort of value. In other words, let's start off with me borrowing something. I borrow something from you. I borrow your car. That has a monetary value. Meaning, if you don't lend me your car, how am I going to get a car? The only way I'm going to get a car is I'm going to have to rent it or buy it. In other words, the idea that you lend me something that's tangible is something that has a monetary value to it. That's clear. And therefore, if I say I'm not going to get benefit from you, so if you lend me something that's tangible, that's clearly a benefit. Our Mishnah is going even one step further. Our Mishnah is talking about even the intangibles. Something like walking on your property. Walking on your property, can you really attach a financial value to it? If I don't walk on your property, again, not a cut through. If I don't walk on your property, what did I lose? And so what the Gemara really is seeking now is to understand is that our Mishnah that says that even drisus haregel is going to be prohibited. So why should that be? So mantana marvada bava Rebbe Eliezer he. Our Mishnah subscribes to the viewpoint of Rebbe Eliezer. Detanya learns in a brisa Rebbe Elazar Omer afilu vitur. Asur b'mudarna. Even vitor is going to be prohibited to somebody who is mudarna, who's someone who's bound by a neder. Vitor. What does that mean? Vitor. So in general, it's good to be vatran. Vatran means to let things go, right? Let it slide, right? As a mida, as a characteristic. So it's the Musar Sfarim talk about how you should be mevatir. In other words, don't hold a grudge. Don't worry about it. Just let things go. Let it slide. So in this context, vitor basically is a description of something that does not have an actual financial a price tag connected to it, and it's something that generally people let slide. Let's take a look at the Ran together for a moment, where the Ran discusses. I feel a vitor. It's the last Ran on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Masha Darkan Shalmochem Levater Lelochan. Even in commercial transaction. The Ran says there are many occasions in the course of business where the seller says to the buyer, okay, it's fine, take it. Things that come along as a, like kind of like a gratuity. So he gives a couple of examples. Shemosif alam kishalochim peres echad ushnaim. Afilo oso vitor, kishalochim peres echad ushnaim. So let's say sometimes you buy apples and the seller puts one more apple in. Give a very popular modern example, baker's dozen, right? You buy 12 bagels, and what happens? So he gives you a 13th, just, okay, take a 13th. Okay, obviously it's a marketing ploy, but that's the basic idea. He's mevater. In other words, he'll take another one. So afilo osavitor aser bemudah hana. The af agav, the Ran goes on to write. Dahavis vini derame alpe hilkach drisus regel aser af agav de lo kapte ba inchi. The Ran says say same thing over here when we're talking about drisus regel. It's a gratuity. In other words, I have no problem with somebody walking on my property. It doesn't really bother me. Shouldn't bother me. So there is no financial worth, value attached to that. And still, that's considered benefit. That's considered hana. I'm just reading on in the Ran. We're on the top of Lama Gimel Amud Aleph in the Ran. Avar Rabbanan Depli Galeh. Savid Chol Hechad Alav Asar Alav Ela Hana Soki Agavna Lo Mekri Hana. But according to the Chachamim who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, this is not considered hana. The Kaven De Midi De Lo Kapti Beinshihu, because this is generally some of the people that don't really care about. Ain't that karui nene mechaver? That's not called benefiting from your friend. If you're benefiting from something that generally people don't care about, that doesn't qualify as a benefit according to the Chachamim. Fine. That is the Ran's explanation of our Gemara, which is really, in turn is explaining our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that once I make a neder against Ploni, against so and so, and I say that that you're not going to get any benefit from me, our Mishnah says he can't even walk on my property. And the Gemara says, okay, that generally is a Rabbi Eliezer concept, and that's right. Our Mishnah is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer, where he says that even Vitor, even those things which people let slide, and even though they don't have a financial value to it, but Rabbi Eliezer says that if I allow him to walk on my property, that is considered an hana'ah. And if he walks on my property, he'll be violation of the neder. That is the author of our Mishnah. However, if you hold like the Chachamim, who disagree with Rabbi Eliezer, so then it would be fine. Even if he's bound by a neder not to get hana'ah from me, but still he can walk on my property, that would be fine. There's no value, there's no financial value attached to that. That is the way the Gemara sets up our Mishnah. That's the way to understand our Mishnah.
At the end of the week, when you can borrow certain things, how is he going to get to borrow it?
I'll have to bring it out. In other words, if Jesus Arego means you can't go on my property, but you want to borrow a shovel, okay? So I'll bring it out to you, and I'll give it to you. But don't come in and don't walk over my property. There is the Ran discusses a contradiction between our Gemara over here and the Gemara in Baba Basra. Just to give you the short version of this discussion, it's interesting. Our Gemara says that as long as you don't subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer, so somebody can walk on my property, it's not a big deal. I halachically shouldn't care. Shouldn't bother me. Somebody wants to walk on my property. Again, a cut through is another discussion, which actually we're going to have a little bit later this morning. And obviously, if it's an area where I wanted privacy, and he's walking through an area in my house that I wanted privacy, that also is unacceptable. That's halachically no good. That's hezek re'iyah. That's for sure out of the question. We're just talking about walking on an area of my property where it doesn't impact me whatsoever. So the Gemara says I really shouldn't care. The Gemara Baba Basra says that generally speaking, people do care. When others walk on the property, not even according to Rabbi Lazar, even according to the Chachamim, right? It bothers people when people walk over the property. So the Ran over here quotes the Ramban and makes a distinction between our Gemara and the Gemara in Baba Basra. The Ramban writes that the Gemara in Baba Basra is describing a scenario where they're not walking on my property, but rather they're parked on my property. Meaning, it should and does bother somebody, even according to the Chachamim, even if you don't subscribe to Rabbi Eliezer, when someone not only goes on my property, but basically sits on my property. That's something which is unacceptable, and you don't have to hold like Rabbi Eliezer. You can even hold like the Chachamim, and that's something that, generally speaking, bothers people. And it is something that you have by right to say, no, you can't park on my property, that's ridiculous. I guess in a modern example, using my driveway as your parking space. I know a lot of people who, when they leave, they want the neighbors to park in the parking space, make it look like somebody lives there. But that's something the Ramban says, that's the Gemara Baba Basra, that's something which is no good. To just simply step foot on somebody else's property and then to step off, that says the Ramban is something which shouldn't bother the homeowner. That should fall under the category of vitor. Okay. Back to our Gemara. We're in the very, very bottom of Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. We're starting with the heading. So Vahaman Michael Neder. So the Gemara asks a very simple question. In the Mishnah contrasts making a general neder hana versus making a specific neder about food. And our Mishnah taught us that if you make a specific neder about food, so that neder includes not only food, but things that are involved in the food preparation. To which the Gemara says, okay, but your sieve and your sift and your millstone and your oven are not food, so why should that be included in the neder? So Amar Shema Melakish Ba'omer Anas Ma'achalcha Alai. So the Gemara says that the way to understand a Mishnah, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, is not where you say just simply the word ma'achal, but hana'as ma'achalcha alai. The benefit of food, your food will be upon me. Hana'as ma'achalcha is now not just specific to food, but anything food related. I'm not going to get any benefit from your food or anything that's used in preparation of the food. So, the Gemara says, okay, if you use such a strange language, maybe it means the following. I'm not going to get food benefit from you. Now, back in the good old days, it was very common. We have a Mishnah Pesachim that describes this. That if, let's say, somebody had a cut and it's an abrasion or some sort of laceration, so what they used to do back in the good old days is they would chew on a piece of wheat, and they would take the chewed piece of wheat and they would adhese it to the wound, and that was a great way to remedy the situation. Okay, I can't talk about the modern application of this idea, but that was very popular back in the good old days. The reason why the Mishnah Pesachim brings it up is because the Mishnah Pesachim says that you can't do that in Pesach, because the wheat by itself is not an issue. It's not chametz. It's just wheat. It's wheat plus water plus time equals chametz. That's your simple formula. So if you take a piece of wheat, a kernel of wheat, and you chew on it, so then you're going to get your saliva all over it, and then it's just going to sit there and it's going to puff up and it's going to become chametz. So the Mishnah Pesachim says you can't do it. It's great medicine. You can't do it on Pesach simply because now it's going to turn into chametz. Meantime, however, our Gemara wants to know, if I use this terminology of hana'as ma'achalcha, the benefit of your food, why doesn't the Mishnah simply describing not the oven, not the sieve, but basically using food for benefit? Meaning not just eating food, but chewing on a piece of wheat and using it as a form of a bandage. So why doesn't the Mishnah come to include that as well? So Amarava ba'omer hanas ha'meviya lide ma'achalcha alai. So Rava says, no. What is meant in the Mishnah is, the phrase that's used in the Mishnah is that any benefit that leads to food will be prohibited to me. Under such circumstances, that would include not only food, but anything involved in food preparation. If you take a look at the Ran over here, we're just going to go through the Ran, who puts together basically a summary statement of the expression that you used, and what's that, and what that is going to include. The Ran is found Pascha de Milsa. Pascha de Milsa. The lines get a little bit wider, and so I'm looking at that last mid-range line. So the Ran says, here's how we're going to conclude. Inader hamachal. If, let's say, when I made a neder against so-and-so, I said just simply the word machal, eino oser ela be'achila bavad, first long line of the Ran. So that's only going to include food. However, any other type of benefit would be fine. Okay, so that's one phrase. If I said food, it only is only relevant to food. Amar hanaz machalcha alai. So if I say the benefit of food, so that's going to include not only food consumed, but any benefit that comes from the actual food itself, like we just described, chewing on a piece of wheat and using it as a bandage. But if I said the benefit of food, so then I could borrow your utensils. If, however, the phrase that I use is the benefit that leads to the eating and the consumption of food, so there I can't eat your food, and I can't borrow your utensils that are used to prepare the food as well. But if that was the phrase that I used, anything that leads to the consumption of food, so if I take your food and I use it for a non-consumption purpose, i.e., using it as a bandage, that would be fine. Okay. That is the Iran's summation of the discussion that we just had in the Gemara. Back to the Gemara, we're on Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. We are now up to the words Amar Rav Papa. It's four lines down. Amar Rav Papa, the Gemara continues. Sak lahavi peros ve chamor lahavi ala peros ve afilu sana ba'alma hanama vili de maichal hu. What about anything used in the transportation of food? So let's say I want to borrow your donkey, because the donkey is great in terms of transporting the fruit, or a basket, which also is great for transportation. So that's included in this netter of food, even though it's not a food, but it's something which facilitates the getting of food to me even sooner. So that's also going to be included in the netter. Rav Papa, I'm sorry, by Rav Papa Susla Kovalav Vitabas Leiros Ba Mahu. So Rav Papa asked the following question. What about this? Let's say I'm going to a dinner. And what I'd like to do is as follows. I'd like to look much more presentable, meaning that I'm going to go to a dinner, and right now I don't have much in terms of jewelry to wear, and I don't have much in terms of, the Gemara here is describing a horse, I'll talk about a car. But in other words, right now, as I go to the feast, I'm not really looking that presentable. So can I, and if I made a neder against somebody, and my neder included anything which was food-related, so can I borrow his horse? Or in modern terminology, can I borrow his car? He's got a much nicer car than I do. And can I borrow his rings? Meaning jewelry to put on. And the Ron explains, what's that going to do? So now when I get to the party, so I'm going to look much better. And not only am I going to look much better, they're going to get me a better seat. I'm going to get better food. So in other words, we're really far removed from actual food benefit. But it's something which could help expedite. Well, not really expedite. But basically, it will be the difference between flying first class and flying like the way I do. In other words, it'll be nicer. It'll be nicer, and you'll get better food. And is that going to be a violation of the neder? So mifzik ameza ba'aramai. And then another follow up question he asks is, what about using somebody's property as a shortcut? This is not what we described earlier. What we described earlier was just simply walking over somebody's property. Now we're talking about using somebody's property as a shortcut in order to get to the party even quicker. Is that going to be considered a violation of Michael? So Tashma v'amashalo chaluk v'talos nizamim v'tabaos. So now the Gemara says, well, let's take a look at our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah seems to be describing exactly that scenario. Our Mishnah says that you can't lend the sieve and the sift and the oven, because those are the things which are used in food preparation. But the Mishnah says, but you can lend clothing, a talis, rings. Mishnah is totally fine with it. Hey chidami, ilam shalaleros b'hem tzrich lemeimar. Look, if you're not showing off with the clothing that you just borrowed or the ring that you just borrowed, so then why would you borrow it? Elalav, I feel aleros b'hem. It must be that you're borrowing them to show them off. And the Mishnah's point is, despite the fact that it may benefit you in terms of getting a better seat at the feast and you're going to get better food, and it may benefit you, but the Mishnah's point is, it's fine. It's okay. The Katani Mashilo. And the Mishnah says that that's fine. So the Gemara says, Lola Olam Sholo Leiros. Maybe the Mishnah means no. That really you're not using it to show off. Why does the Mishnah introduce us to these ideas? V'aydi Diktani Reishalo Yishalo Natani Seifa Mashilo. And the Mishnah could just simply be used in the purposes of symmetry. Meaning, if I make a neder, then I'm not going to get benefit from his food, so I can't, obviously I can't eat his food. I can't borrow his food, his pots and pans. I can't borrow even things that help me prepare the food, like the oven and the sieve and the sift and the millstone. And then the Mishnah, just for symmetrical purposes, says, but here's what you can borrow. Anything that's not food related. So so it could just very well be that the Mishnah is just a foil just to tell us what you can and what you can't. But if I'm borrowing the rings and the clothing, it's not to show off. It's just that the Mishnah is just giving us a symmetrical contrast. Okay. We're on the Mishnah Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. The next Mishnah. Chol davar shein osim bo ochel nefesh malkum shemaskirin kayotze behem asar. Even if it's not food related, again, we're going back to the person who makes an neder against his friend. I'm not going to get any food benefit from him. Okay. So the Mishnah says that I can't obviously eat his food, and the Mishnah says I can't even borrow things that are involved in food preparation. Good. Our Mishnah now is introducing us to another idea. And that is, is that if what I get benefit from him is going to save me money, even if the item that I borrow from him is not food related, but it will save me money, that money, what am I going to do with that saved money? I'm going to buy food with it. That now falls under the category of a food benefit, even though what I borrowed from him is not food. The Mishnah gives an example. The Mishnah does not give an example. The Ran gives an example. I feel about Muda Michael, the High Muda Michael, the Masisan Hamukumas and Bigmar, but Omer Hanas, Mavila de Michael Lai. The Hani came in the Regilma Haskir and Vizema Shilo below Schar. So let's say, for example, let's go back to my car example. Right? I need a car. And right now I don't have one. And I go over to you and I say, look, I know we had a fight. I know I made a neder, and I know that I'm not allowed to get any food benefit from you because that was my neder. But let me borrow your car. If I borrow the car from him, so what's going to now happen is I just save myself some money. Because had he not lent me the car, so then I would have had rented the car. Then I would have had to buy the car. So that was actual savings now that I have because he lent me his car. So the Ran goes on to say, so hana ha mevili de michaelu shari bidemei haschir shemachalo, because basically by lending he was forgiving any type of rental, meaning I don't have to pay him now. So yikach michael. So what I'm going to do with that saved money is I'm going to apply towards food. It doesn't have to be. In other words, obviously it could be applied to something else, but the possibility exists where that money saved is going to be applied towards food. And therefore, even that falls under the category of a neder against Michael. The Gemara comments, Michal Dereisha Afapisha Emaskirin. And then the Gemara just makes the observation one more time. That means in the first Mishnah, we're talking about a case where people don't rent those things out. And meanwhile, the first Mishnah says that it's still going to be prohibited. So, man tana meravad brava Rebbe Elazar. So again, the Gemara wants to highlight to us that the Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Again, what's the point the Gemara is making? That despite the fact that in the first Mishnah we're talking about things that normally aren't rented, meaning because people don't care, it's not a big deal. Yet the Mishnah says that if I make a general neder against that person, I can even use something from him that's normally not even rented, because people don't normally care. And yet, the Mishnah says that's aser. Why? So again, just to highlight it one more time, because our Mishnah is going like Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that even those things which people don't charge for, even those things are considered a hana'ah. And that's why our Mishnah, our first Mishnah, and by inference, our second Mishnah, speaks to the idea that I can't even benefit from those things, even though there's no actual financial value attached to those things. We're up to the Gemara, the last Mishnah on the Amud, and our last sugya of the day. Hamudar hana mechavero. So again, let's go back now to the to me and my friend. To me and my friend, we have it out. We're unhappy with each other, and that's it. I make a neder, and I'm not going to get any benefit from him. Okay, so I'm not getting any benefit from Ploni. And the Mishnah then goes on to say, "Amudah na mechaveru shokolo es shiklo, upareya es chavo, umachzir lo es avedaso." So three examples being brought down in the Mishnah of things he can do for me, and it would not be a violation of the neder. Again, I by neder said that I'm not getting any benefit from him, and meanwhile, we know annually the Beis HaMikdash is going to come around to everyone's house, knock on the door, and say, "Machzir sa shekel." You have to pay to the Beis HaMikdash a half shekel every year. It's an obligation on every man. Woman wants to, she can do so. Kohanim justified themselves not to, but every man is obligated to bring a machzitz a shekel, to give a machzitz a shekel. It's a simple head tax placed on every Jew living in and outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. The Mishnah is over there describe even those living outside of Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, so I made a neder against so-and-so, and I'm not going to get any benefit from him. He can pay my machzitz hashekel. Now, obviously, you think about it, that's a big chiddush, because that's a benefit. Meaning, that was a tax that I had to pay, and he was fortunate enough to sponsor me. I would have said that's a benefit. The Mishnah says it's not. Stay tuned as we're going to be discussing why that should be. And the Mishnah gives a second example. Pareya Schovo, I'm in terrible debt. and this particular creditor is just not leaving me alone, pressing. And I keep telling him, I got the money, I'll get the money. I'm somewhere between I got the money and I'll get the money. Just in other words, I need a little more time. And there's a tremendous amount of pressure and stress. And then along comes my friend, who I'm not allowed to get benefit from, and the Mishnah says, he can pay off my debt. Again, you think about it, that's a big chiddush. Meaning, that's a benefit. Think about the relief I just received from no longer being in that kind of debt. And the Mishnah says, that's fine. The Mishnah gives a third example, Machzor Aved Oso. Machzor Aved Oso, I lost an item. The person who found the oven, found the oven, sorry. I just mixed up two Mishnahs today. The person who found the item, so he picks up the item, he returns it to me. Thank you. That's great. Huh? Okay, good. So already, Danny, you're projecting. Tomorrow we're going to be discussing more of this. So he's fulfilling a mitzvah. He's not trying to benefit me. He's just doing what the Torah tells him to do. Okay. In the meantime, however, the Mishnah gives these three examples. Even though I am bound by neder that I'm not going to get benefit from him, yet the Mishnah says that he can do all these types of things for me. Pay off my shekel, pay off my debt, and return a lost item to me. The Mishnah goes on. Makom shenolan aleha schar tipol hana lehekdesh. Now, in certain communities, the minhag was as follows. So it's an interesting minhag. When an item is returned to you, now, before we talk about the minhag, so normally speaking, you found a lost item has been recovered and returned to you. So, of course, you feel unbelievably grateful to the person who did it. Now, the person who found it and returned it to you, he did a mitzvah in the Torah. He doesn't need your thank you, although your thank you, of course, is very appreciated. He doesn't need any consideration because he did a mitzvah. So what better reward is he going to have than the mitzvah that he accomplished in returning the lost item to you? Okay, I just spoke very religiously. Right? That's great. In the meantime, however, it's hard. Meaning you find a lost item, and not only do you have to pick it up, not only do you have to take care of it, you have to return it to the owner. You may not know who the owner is. It is not the easiest thing in the world to just simply return an item to its rightful owner. It takes work. It takes effort. It may compromise some of your time that you could have used to do other things. It's not easy. There was a minhag. I don't know how universally practiced it was. Is that when someone returned a lost item to you, give him something. In other words, give him some sort of consideration. Give him some sort of gratuity to basically let him know that he was appreciated what he did. And it was, and it's, you know, it's kind of like when you go to the restaurants, and you know, nowadays you go to the restaurants and they, you know, they not only remind you about the tip, but they put, you know, a little note on the bottom of the receipt, you know, the check. Here's what the tip should be, and it actually calculates for you. They're very nice what they do now. They actually calculate for you. Here's what you should. Here's 15%. Here's 20%. Here's 25%. Fine. So there was a minhag back then, which, again, I don't know how ubiquitous it is now. There was a minhag back then that someone returned a lost item to you, so you should pay him. Okay, now, in the event where, again, you had two people and they made one is not allowed to receive benefit from the other, so now let's say an item was returned. So the Mishnah describes, Makom shenotlan aleha schar, tipol hana'a lehekdesh. So now what happens is as follows. He just returned a lost item to me. I'm not allowed to get any benefit from him. Fine. On the other hand, however, there's also the custom, the accepted custom, that I should pay him. But the truth of the matter is that I'm not allowed to get benefit from him. So the Mishnah tells us, so you're not going to pay him. Fine, you're not going to pay him. You know what I just did? I just saved myself some money. Because the accepted custom is to pay him. I'm not going to pay him because I'm not going to, right? What I just did is, I just benefited from somebody I'm not going to get benefit from. The Mishnah says, okay, so you know what you should do with that money? Don't keep that money. Because by you keeping that money, you have now received the benefit from him. You should take that money, you should give it to Hekdesh. Right? In other words, but don't keep that money. By you keeping that money, that's a benefit that you get from the person. Okay. What we learned in our Mishnah is, the first three examples of the Mishnah, is that if it's just a question of paying off somebody else's debt, that's not considered a benefit. And the Mishnah says that even though the borrower of that money who's being pressured to pay his machatzis shekel and his creditors, so, and it's stress and pressure, and somebody relieves him of that, somebody gives him debt relief, so the Mishnah tells us that's not considered a violation of the neder in a scenario where, of course, the sponsor is prohibited from benefiting the poor borrower. What do you see from our Mishnah? The Gemara makes that comment. Alma avruchi ari ba'almahu vishare. All I'm doing is chasing away the lion. That's all I'm doing. And chasing the way a lion is permitted. Meaning, what we're going to do now is we're going to give a very precise definition of benefit. Benefit, hana'a, is when I'm doing something to you, tangibly to you. I give you money. I give you food. It's something where I am providing for you something real and tangible. Or maybe, you know, we could talk about a service as well. But I'm providing for you. I'm lending you something. However, benefit does not, what doesn't fall under the category of benefit is where all I'm doing is shooing something harmful away from you. That's not considered a direct benefit. So if there's an ari, if there's a lion, now again, we're giving obviously an extreme example, but if there's a lion and the lion is attacking you, and all I do is knock him away, that's not obviously, you know, there's appreciation, and there's a certain amount of gratitude, but that's not considered hana, that's not considered benefit. So you see from our Mishnah, Avruchi Ari Ba'amahu, that all the person did was just simply chase the lion away, and Shari, and that's fine, and that's permitted. Now all this should sound unbelievably familiar to us because we just did this in Ksuvos, and now we get to do it again. Mantana Maravoshia Zu Divrei Chanan Ahi. So our Gemara points out that this idea of shooing away the lion is really an idea that is encapsulated by Chanan. But the Chachamim disagree. What are we talking about over here? Let's take a look at the Ran. The Ran reminds us of what we learned already back in Ksuvos. If you take a look at the Ran on the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, he writes, The Gemara in Ksuvos had the following scenario, right? It was at the tail end of the Masechta. Let's say I have a friend married, and he abandons his wife. Okay, no good explanation, and right now no need for an explanation. He just abandons her. Now she relied her support. Her support was coming from him, but unfortunately, the husband now went away. Now he is obligated to support his wife, and that's a shibud, meaning she has a shibud on that obligation. So as we learned at the end of the Masechta Ksuvos, she can go to Beis Din, turn to Beis Din, and say to Beis Din, you know, my husband is supposed to feed me. He left. He told me he was coming back within a week. It's been a month. He hasn't come back yet. And so Beis Din can go on and seize assets in order to sell off, in order to provide her mezonos, right? We did all that at the end of Ksuvos. Let's say you have the neighbor, just a wonderful guy, and he says, you know what? I'm going to sponsor her food. I'll front the money. And what he does is he puts up the money in order to pay for the food. So now when the husband returns, so according to Chanan, he can't go over to the husband and say, okay, good, I basically fronted the money for you. Now you go ahead and you reimburse me. So according to Chanan, no, he does not get a reimbursement. It is tantamount to, you remember this expression? It's tantamount to taking your money and putting it on Karen Hatzvi, on the horns of a deer. In other words, you're basically, you may get paid back, but who knows? So when you put your money on the horn of a deer, the deer may stay put, he may run away, who knows? But in other words, you're not entitled. He's not obligated to pay you back. Why not? The answer is because ma'avrechas ari. Because all you're doing is you're chasing the lion away. Meaning, you are, of course you're feeding her, but from the husband's perspective, that wasn't a direct benefit that went to the husband. All you did was you chased away the lion. From the husband's perspective, who's the lion? It's funny, but it's true. In this context, the wife. Meaning, because what the wife in turn is going to do is she's going to go after the husband. But now, because you paid off that debt, So now she's not going to go after him. But that's not a direct benefit, and that's not something which is recoupable, according to Hanan. So when the Gemara looks at our Mishnah, what does the Gemara say? So according to Rav Hoshea, our Mishnah is subscribing to the same train of thought. Meaning that even though we are bound by a netter, then I'm not going to get benefit from him, so that means I'm not going to get direct benefit from him. But if he wants to pay my machzitz shekel, if he wants to pay my debts, that's not a direct benefit, and that would be fine, according to the Hanan. So Rav Hoshea is lining up the opinion of Hanan from the Gemara Ksuvos and our Mishnah over here. Top of Lamed Gimel Med Beis. So Rav Amar Afilu Temer Rabbanan. Now Rav says, no, you don't have to do that. Our Mishnah could even be going like the Chachamim, who happen to disagree with Hanan. But in our Mishnah, it's different. Why? Hakol Gabi. I'm sorry. Afilu Temer Divrei Hakol Gabi Mudar Na Chayv Amanashal Lifrawa. So, and it could very well be that over here, our Mishnah can even work with the Chachamim. Because it's true. Over there in the Gemara and Ksuvos, the Chachamim say that when the husband does in fact return, he's going to have to reimburse the sponsor. That's true. But over here, it could be argued that it's not a benefit. Why? Excuse me. Because maybe our Mishnah is describing a scenario where you do have a creditor, and you do owe him the money, but the loan, the terms of the loan were, you pay whenever you're ready to pay. To pay back. In other words, there was no deadline to the loan. So that's why in our Mishnah, it's not such a benefit, because even without my friend, right, there was nothing pressing upon me to pay back the loan anytime in the near future.
So that's not a line, then. You're not chasing
whatever. Exactly the point. Meaning correct. Meaning, and this is Rava now saying that our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim in these circumstances. Now, this answer is an interesting answer. It is also a very difficult answer, because you look back at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah gave two examples. One example the Mishnah gave was paying off a creditor. What was the other example given the Mishnah? Paying your machzitz a shekel. If you don't pay your machzitz a shekel, the Mishnayos and Shkalim go on to describe that they're going to come over to you, they're going to knock on your door, and they're going to apply pressure in order for you to pay your machzitz a shekel. So this answer that the Gemara just gave is fine for a regular creditor. There's such a thing as a creditor who lends you the money and says pay back whenever you want. Right. I know it's not that common, but it's possible. By the machzitz a shekel, that's very unlikely. And not only unlikely, doesn't happen. So you take a look at the Ran. I'm not going to go through the Ran right now, but you take a look at the Ran, and the Ran goes on to describe how that could possibly be. Anyway, as long as we're here, the Gemara goes on to explain my Chanan Dinan. The Gemara quotes now the Mishnah Ksuvos that we learned really not so long ago, about a month and a half ago. So a person goes away and leaves his wife and abandons her and does not provide food for her, and somebody comes along and sponsors and pays for the food of his wife. Chanan Amar Ibid his mouse up. So according to Chanan, that's it. He lost his money. He is not able to, when the husband comes back, to demand compensation from the husband. And the B'nai Kohanim go to him and say no. He's absolutely entitled to reimbursement. He'll make a shvua in terms of how much money he laid out, but after that, he's entitled to reimbursement. I'm Rabbi Dosa ben Horkanus Kedivrayim. So Rav Dosa ben Horkanus agreed with them, and I'm Rav Yochum, meaning with the B'nai Kohanim Gedolim, and I'm Rav Yochum and Zakkai, Yafe Amar Chanan. And Rav Yochum and Zakkai says, no, I think Chanan said the right thing. He niach mosav al keren tzvi. When he came and he sponsored, so you know what it was tantamount to? It's basically taking your money and putting on the horns of a deer. Maybe I'll get it back, maybe I won't get it back. Okay, that's the Mishnah in Ksuvos. So again, now after knowing the Mishnah in Ksuvos, what does our Mishnah go? How does our Mishnah follow? So there are two opinions amongst the Amoraim. Rav Hoshea says that our Mishnah goes like the opinion of Chanan. According to Rava, our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. How can that be? So again, Rava says because our Mishnah is talking not about a lion, but our Mishnah is talking about a creditor who is much more like a little pussycat. Instead of a big lion, meaning that he's not demanding the money anytime soon, and so therefore that's why anyone who comes and pays off that debt is not giving you such debt relief, and therefore it's not considered a hana. Rava Lama Karav Oshia, and just finishing up to the two dots. Rava does not agree with the Rav Oshia, because the way Rava has it now, our Mishnah and Nedarim, which is a Stam Mishnah, is not just limited to the opinion of Hanan, but rather is going like the Chachamim as well. It's a better way to learn a Mishnah according to Rava. Rav Oshia lo amar k'Rava, gzera shol lipara mishum lipara. And as far as Rav Oshia is concerned, he doesn't side with Rava, because think about it. It's certainly possible for there to be a creditor who's not demanding payment anytime soon. It's possible. But if we allow other people to pay back those loans and that not to be considered hana'ah, the more usual case is where the creditor is demanding his money back, and the person who pays back that money is in fact now going to be providing hana'ah. So according to Rav Oshia, he feels that if once we allow people to pay back loans, even loans that you're allowed to pay back, it would not be a violation of the neder, so it'll be people will then be paying back all types of loans, even the types of loans that you're not allowed to pay back, because it would be a violation of the neder. So Rav Oshia feels that a gzera over here is in place. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up at the two dots. Really, tomorrow's daf is short, and the two dots really start tomorrow's discussion about Hashavas Aveda, viewed as a mitzvah, any type of fringe benefit of Hashavas Aveda. That's tomorrow's discussion. Pruta de Rav Yosef, a popular discussion takes place through Shas. Okay, started the fourth parak today, made a fine distinction between Muda Hana and Hanas Michael. We talked about how Hanas Michael, if formulated correctly, is not just limited to food, but anything used for food preparation. And even if it's an item where, because of the money saved, will lead to the consumption of food, is considered a food benefit. And that was the first half of today's daf. Second half of today's daf is that if I'm bound by neder, where I'm not going to get benefit from so-and-so, he can still pay off my debt, my machtis ha-shekel, return my lost item. And we explained today, we had a debate today, whether that's exclusively the opinion of Hanan, or could that even be going like the opinion of the Chachamim of that Mishnah in Ksuvos.